There are more than 6,000 known languages on Earth, and linguists say that most are heading for extinction. Some communities are trying to reverse the trend. High in the mountains of southeastern Mexico, in the tiny village of Yaganitza, people speak a dialect of Zapoteco, a language that's been spoken in the area since well before Spaniards arrived. Many would like their children to read and write in Zapoteco. They welcome the work of an American translator who's come to help commit their language to the printed page. There's controversy, too. This American translator is a born-again Christian, and Yaganitza is mostly Catholic. Now, she's producing literacy materials, but her main goal is to translate biblical texts into Zapoteco for a Dallas-based Christian organization called SIL International. In the past, indigenous groups in Mexico have complained about evangelical translators proselytizing in their communities. Some Yaganitzans worry that the American translator in their midst is stoking religious and cultural division. As part of Worlds of Difference, a series on global cultural change, Marianne McCune has this report.
Solo tú eres santo, solo tú eres digno.
Elena Caballero can probably sing 100 hymns in Spanish, like this one, but the words are little more than sounds to her. She's 70 years old and speaks only her native language, Zapoteco. But for generations, people in her tiny mountain village have worshipped in Spanish, whether or not they understood it. For them, Spanish was the language spoken by God, until American translator Rebecca Long arrived 7 years ago.
Thank God Rebecca came here to put the Bible in Zapoteco, because before I didn't know what the Bible said.
Señora Caballero joined the Pentecostals 17 years ago, when there were only a handful in Yaganitza. Now about a third of the town's 900 residents belong to one of two evangelical churches, and many are eager for Rebecca Long to complete her translations. Tonight, Señora Caballero is joining Long and two friends to practice the hymns Long has translated. Elena Caballero can't read the little green hymn books that Long has given them, so she closes her eyes and follows along.
One hymn says, while we live here on earth, we must confide in Christ. Now I understand what God is saying, and I know what I want to say to him.
Elena Caballero's son-in-law, Pedro Mendez, is pastor at the Pentecostal church, which he says is not popular among the town's Catholics.
They make fun of us, like, why don't we drink with them? Why don't we hang out with them?
Mendez spends most of his time working in the fields or milking the family's two cows. But whenever he has a free moment, he can be found in Rebecca Long's kitchen, helping her study Zapoteco for a couple dollars an hour. This morning, he's speaking Zapotec words into a microphone while Long records them onto her laptop computer. She's still finalizing which letters and symbols to use for words she calls tone pairs.
Oh, a tone pair is two words that are identical, like yel and yel. And the only difference is the tone.
Long came to Yaganitza after completing a New Testament translation for a nearby town. As a translator for SIL International, she must pay all of her own expenses, with donations from her family, friends, and some churches. But in addition to biblical texts, she's also printed more than a dozen booklets of stories, songs, and riddles in Zapoteco, partly to help preserve the area's lore, partly to help people here learn to read and write in their own language.
I did a little book on hammocks. The borrower comes home from carrying firewood, and he's worn out, tired, and so he lays down in his hammock, and then the pig comes along and gets in with him, and until finally the little chick comes along and jumps up on him, and then the rope breaks, and they all fall on the ground, you know. And that, oh, the kids are nuts about that.
Some of the texts are stories from village elders.
Beautiful texts. Stuff that's, you know, it's lost now. Nobody else would know that stuff now. Nobody.
Long is also finishing up a Spanish Zapoteco dictionary for the village.
Ying.
Pedro Mendez says he likes helping along figure out the intricacies of the language, but what he really loves is translating the Bible.
Like when it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." I've never really understood what this means, but Rebecca and I will meditate and talk about what it says. And you realize that the words of God have a lot of meaning.
I love the scriptures myself, and I find them a source of life and the reason to continue with life and so on, you know, and I want other people to have that opportunity.
Un libro tan delicado como es la Biblia.
A book as delicate as the Bible, it's very difficult to translate something like that.
Abel Montes is an indigenous rights activist in Yaganisa, but right now he's repairing a wall at the town's Catholic chapel. He and other members of the community are not thrilled about Rebecca Long translating the Bible into Zapoteco.
We have to remember, an indigenous person has a more natural, different way of understanding the language than an outsider. There is a famous teacher who's given his life to translating into Zapoteco, but even he still hasn't figured out how to define the word God in Zapoteco. I can't believe that someone who spent just 5 or 10 years living in an indigenous community has found the word for God.
Long says she's not the translator. She depends on her collaboration with Yaganisans and has even taken some to translation workshops. But that doesn't satisfy Montes or his Catholic neighbor, Benedicto Santaella, who's just started up Yaganisa's first taxi service.
What Señora Rebecca is doing is more for one religion than for the whole community.
Father Baltasar Reyes gives Mass in Spanish here on Sundays and says he has no problem with Rebecca Long translating the Bible into his parishioners' language, but Catholic doctrine discourages individuals from interpreting the Bible on their own. And he says the evangelicals use the words of the Bible divisively.
They say, the Catholics this, the Catholics that. And then there start to be differences and divisions among families. Here, we understand the word of God, but to help create community, to strengthen the customs that are being abandoned.
The evangelicals have pushed for change in Yaganisa. 10 years ago, they tried to break from a long-standing custom that requires every male citizen to help run the town. Here, that includes maintaining the Catholic Church facilities and paying for the elaborate Catholic fiestas. Evangelicals object to the drinking and carousing at fiestas, and they don't believe in worshiping what they call idols, the ornate images of Jesus and Mary that fill Catholic churches. So in 1994, about 40 evangelical families told town leaders they didn't want to do church-related jobs or pay for fiestas. Vitalicio Valle helped lead their rebellion.
We had various meetings to make them understand that the state and religion are separate.
But when the evangelicals refused to back down, the town threw them in jail.
They didn't understand because the village custom is stronger.
Indigenous rights activist Abel Montes still defends the town's actions.
According to the Mexican Constitution, we can't obligate anyone to believe in what we believe. But that wasn't the situation.
He says the customs evangelicals wanted to abandon are too central to the identity and economy of the town to give up. Fiestas bring income to the village, and the local brand of Catholicism incorporates rituals and beliefs from long before the Spanish conquest.
We were not defending the Catholic religion. We were fighting for the harmony of the life of the community.
Similar conflicts have agitated villages across these rugged hills, and some have agreed to exempt their evangelicals from Catholic Church-related duties. In Yaganisa, the two evangelical churches are thriving, but their rebellion did not succeed. Vitalicio Valle says while members were still in jail, they signed a statement promising to keep up their duties to the Catholic Church.
We signed, but not because we agreed with it.
Rebecca Long waited until Yaganisa had reached its fragile accord before beginning her work there. But she says she needs to tread lightly if she wants to finish.
Well, it does threaten the status quo, you know. Everybody from this town has lived here for generation after generation after generation. It's their land, it's their town, it's their language, it's their, you know, it's just a whole different kind of thing.
And because of fear and suspicion on both sides, many Yaganisans are missing out on Long's secular work. For years, local school administrators have been struggling to produce children's books in Zapoteco so students can learn in their native language. Yet no one has asked Long to share the stack of children's booklets she's already printed up. And Long is also hesitant.
If I get involved in this and they decide, no, they don't like this, they don't want me to do this or like that, then it jeopardizes the goals I have that to me are even more important.
It can take a decade to complete a translation of the New Testament. Rebecca Long says she'll be polishing hers for a few more years. Yet the Bible she spent years translating for a nearby town is hardly in use. Few in these mountains can read it or have the motivation to learn. Whether this Zapotec Bible is more widely read will depend on whether the people of Yaganisa choose to weave it into the town's already delicate mesh of imported and indigenous traditions. For NPR News, I'm Marianne McCune in Mexico.
For more on the Worlds of Difference series, you can visit our website, npr.org.